Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's just jump right into it here. You know, I cut a promo after the show yesterday, and I said, hey, let's do Open Lines Friday. I should have called it Open Mics Friday, because not only do we have the phone lines open for you, anybody can call into the show, but hey, you know how we roll. Sometimes people will even drop into our studios here and join us on the program. So not only do we have Open Lines Friday, we've got open microphones here on the Friday, and let's just jump right into it, because we've got a great guest who just popped into our Montana Talks studios. Susie Hedlund is a candidate for superintendent for the Office of Public Instruction statewide here in Montana, a great superintendent out of Townsend, Montana. And I got a chance to see her at a meet and greet last night. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you haven't gotten a chance to meet Susie Hedlund yet, she is a remarkable candidate to bring some leadership here for our schools in Montana. Susie, thanks for dropping in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was so fun to hear more of your story last night, because I remember getting to meet you know, a few months ago when you first announced that you were going to be running. But even before I knew anything about you, I knew you were a good superintendent, because you have been providing incredible support to military families in particular. There's this deal, Purple Schools, something like that. And it's where these schools commit to provide support to the children of our military service members. And so that was the first thing I had heard about you. I heard even more last night, and very impressed by your campaign.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. Military families are very important to me. My brother-in-law is a veteran, and I really enjoy supporting those families. We have a lot of military families in Townsend, and it's been a joy to get together and provide extra support for them.
One of the things I liked about what you shared last night was, you know, North Dakota apparently integrated some new data systems. They brought some new systems online. And you had some school leaders that were in attendance at your Q&A, whether it was school superintendents from, you know, the largest school district in the state, like Billings, to Fromberg and others. But the amount of paperwork that bogs these schools down, they get bogged down with, it's like, hey, we can just do simple things like get some of that paperwork off of their desk.
Yeah, it is crazy right now, the bureaucracy and the federal oversight. We have got to get rid of it. We can do it. I've seen other states do it. I know how we can get it accomplished. We have the funding in Montana right now. I am on the task force, the data task force, so that we can create a streamlined data system, cut out all this duplicative paperwork and reporting, so that we can make sure that educational leaders and teachers have more time with their students and to meet with parents. That's what we need to be doing, focusing on teaching and learning.
You know, it's funny, because with the 2024 election being such a big election year, presidential race, Senate race, every statewide office pretty much up for re-election or up for grabs, this is a very important race, and it's a wide open seat, because the current superintendent is termed out. So this is a wide open race with three candidates running for Office of Public Instruction. We'll talk more with Susie Hedlund right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we'll get to your phone calls here next. If you want to jump in on the conversation, or if you got something to talk about on this Open Lines Friday. But back to Susie Hedlund, candidate for Office of Public Instruction, who popped into our studios here this morning. Susie, it was kind of cool. I heard more of your story last night. You were saying how you got your start in Grass Range, Montana, a career educator. You've been a teacher, school superintendent, but you got your start. They say that Grass Range is like boot camp for superintendents, something like that.
Yes, sir. You do anything and everything. So it was a great experience, because I learned how to be able to run every aspect of a school district and had to jump in hands-on. It was a blast, you know, trapping gophers on the football field, to, you know, screwing the light bulbs in on the scoreboard until I could get a digital one and all of that fun stuff. But I, you know, really, really appreciated the experience I got there. And it's definitely a learning curve. So,
yeah, it was. You even had to figure out how to get rid of snakes that were out on the playground. I mean, all sorts of stuff. In addition to, you know, teaching and everything else that comes with a small town school district.
Yes, landlord of the Teacheridges. Every time I left town, there was a flood. I swear. So that was something. You know, funeral director in those small schools. It's really the heart of the community, and everything really centralized there at the school. So,
well, usually when people call into this show, I just ask them, what do you want to talk about, right? What's on your mind? So what do you want to tell folks across Montana, maybe why you're running for Office of Public Instruction?
I'm running to make sure we bring education back to basics, put parents and students first, and keep schools safe. We have a lot of work to do in our reading and math scores, and it's very important to me that we give teachers the tools they need and allow them to focus on that, those areas that they are experts in, and to teach our students to read, write, and do math. We can increase our reading and math scores, and we don't need to be teaching other things that encroach on family values. That's very important to me, to make sure we're transparent with parents. I believe that parents have a right to know what their students are learning and that they are safe. We need to work with our local law enforcement and keep our schools safe and make sure that parents feel comfortable bringing their kids to our public schools.
You know, it's interesting right now. We see the Biden administration just pushed out these Title IX changes where they want to force boys onto girls' sports. They want to allow men into girls' locker rooms. John Tester voted in support of a similar deal, allowing men into girls' locker rooms. And so they are going to try to, at the federal level, force this on our schools here in Montana. And I've already heard concern from some local school leaders that are saying, wow, all of a sudden these school district lawyers that were too busy 5 days ago, all of a sudden feel the rush to shove this stuff down our throats here. So this is why we've got to make sure that we have a common sense, everyday school teacher and school superintendent like yourself in a job like this, because the radical left, they want to come in and push this stuff on everybody all across the state.
Yes, I think something that definitely sets me apart is my experience in the field. I'm currently a superintendent. I've made a positive impact and difference across the state in education at every level. I can collaborate with the Department of Labor and with the governor's office and with our legislators to provide more opportunities for our students, and I've done that work. So that's why I'm in this position. I do find the Title IX information very interesting, and people did get right on top of it. It is something that I, you know, will make sure that we protect in Montana. These new regulations are a direct attack on Title IX, which has protected the safety of girls and women, of equal rights in education. And, you know, I will definitely advocate for a policy that upholds the integrity of girls' sports. Boys don't belong in girls' sports. Boys don't belong in girls' bathrooms. And it really comes down to safety as well.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me. That's why I like your message of let's just get back to the basics of education. I mean, we've got kids that were set very far behind because of all these stupid COVID lockdowns and mandates and restrictions. And so we've got a lot of ground to gain now as a result of that. And so we got to stick to the basics. But we know that the Denise Juno style of leadership, they want to come in and push this woke leftist critical race theory, pro-transgender ideology stuff on kids instead of just reading, writing, and arithmetic.
We don't need any political ideology in school. We need to focus on instruction of the basics, like I said. I still believe in cursive. Our Constitution's written in it. And I also am very passionate about expanding the opportunities for our students. You talked about how the education landscape has changed since COVID. And our high school students don't want to just sit behind a desk anymore. We need to give them more opportunities to get out in the field and to work. And our Montana workforce needs it. We need students that can run a drill. We need folks that can enter the trade with experience, and the kids want those opportunities. So I'm excited about working with our industry leaders to build that out.
I almost forgot, last night you shared a great story. You were working on a program. You're actually working for the Office of Public Instruction. You showed up in Weibo, Montana, and the teachers couldn't believe it that a state official actually showed up in Weibo, Montana. They're like, we never see anybody come out here and ask us what we think.
Yes, I have enjoyed working across the state. I think it's very important that we get input from parents, teachers, educational leaders all across the state. So I enjoyed doing that work when I was at the state. I have that experience and I'm ready to bring that to the table. I know it's a tough job, but I'm ready to take it on. And I think we can make a positive change and make sure that we're listening to the field and get more customer service to the field. I am ready to make sure we have knowledgeable people to answer the questions in the field.
Frank in Malta tells me that Susie will be in Malta April 30th at the Tin Cup, 5:30 to 7. You're in Red Lodge tonight. You're hitting the High Line next week. Susie Hedlund, what's your website or Facebook page real fast?
SusieForSchools.com.
SusieForSchools.com. Thanks for dropping in. Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right, quick break. Phone lines are open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about. Open Lines Friday, Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Back right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open Lines Friday. Give us a call, 406-294-0970. One thing I do want to share with you here this morning at some point. You guys know our friend Jeremy Carl. Jeremy Carl joined us back on, I think it was April 2nd. He was with us here live for the full hour here on Montana Talks. Jeremy Carl wrote a book about anti-white racism. And, of course, Jeremy Carl is a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman, Montana, and is just what a brilliant thinker he is. He sat down with the one and only Tucker Carlson for a 25-minute segment of Tucker Carlson Uncensored. I want to share just a brief clip from that back and forth with you here at some point this morning on the show. I have posted the full video on our Montana Talks website. I'm hoping to get permission to be able to air the entire thing on the radio for you one of these days. But in the meantime, I want to at least give you just a little sample of what they talked about. Into the phone lines we go. Owen in Helena, listening to KCAP. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. It's actually Bowen Greenwood calling
hey,
from Helena, Montana.
Bowen, great to hear from you. I recognize the voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm right in the middle of the campaign for re-election as clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, and figured I'd call in and talk to you a little bit about that. You know, if Susie gets in as superintendent of public instruction, the progressives and the left are going to sue the daylights out of everything she tries to do, and we're going to need a Republican at the Supreme Court to help out with that.
Yeah. Were you the first Republican in, like, 40, 50 years, first Republican ever? Tell us again, when you got elected clerk of the Supreme Court, I mean, it was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I was first elected in 2018, and the guy who'd been there before me was a Democrat, and he had been there for 30 years. So I was the first Republican in 30 years to hold this office, and it's been a great chance to be a team player with Austin Knutson and Christy Jacobson and the Republicans who are working for change at our Supreme Court.
Well, I know I've known you for about probably 20 of those 30 years in the meantime. And, yeah, great guy. Here's what I like. I know you don't like to pat yourself on the back. You're a workhorse, not a show horse. But simple little things that I know you've started to do just from a public transparency standpoint. And don't let me hog all the time here either. When we let people call in, they get to talk about what they want to call in and talk about. But I do want to pat you on the back. My friend David Noble, who fills in for us on the show, you know, he's a lawyer in his day job. He told Travis and I one day, he said, hey, guys, you should sign up for the Montana Supreme Court Digest. It's a great way to get information that's coming out of the Montana Supreme Court. And he's right. I mean, I just read the latest digest that came out the other day, and I wrote a story about it on our Montana Talks website. I mean, a few years ago, if you wanted that kind of information out of the Montana Supreme Court, you'd have to, you know, call somebody, leave a message, play phone tag, have a fax machine, probably spend money. And it's like, no, this information is electronically available. Just push it out to the people. And so that's just like one little thing that you're doing that that a lot of people don't know about.
You know, that's 100% right, Aaron. You know that the Montana Supreme Court is not always super eager to share information about how they do business, whether it's their emails or anything else. But I believe the people of Montana have the right to know what their court is doing. That's why we email out opinions to anybody who wants to look at them. And we do a lot of other stuff, too, to help Montanans get to know what their court is doing, give everybody an inside look. And people can find out about that at courts.mt.gov/clerk.
What's your pitch? I know you do have a primary opponent here, and absentee ballots come out, a couple of weeks now. So what's your pitch on why folks should vote to retain you as the clerk of the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, like I said, I like to be a team player with the Republicans who are working to change the court. You know, when the Attorney General is in front of the Montana Supreme Court arguing about pro-life laws and trying to defend those, I'm able to help him. I'm able to guide his people through what to expect from the justices, and that's why I'm endorsed by Attorney General Austin Knudsen. And when conservatives are trying to defend election integrity laws, like requiring a ID to vote, I'm able to help them through the process, which is why I'm endorsed by Christy Jacobson. It's good to have a Republican here. It's good to have an experienced Republican here to be a team player with our guys.
What it's got to be frustrating to sit at your perch and just see some of the insanity that's coming out of the Montana Supreme Court. I mean, we've got such intense partisan activists, you know, former Democrat Party officials who are now on the court. And look, we wouldn't have a problem with that if they could do their job fairly. But they're not. They're pushing their left-wing agenda. They're pushing their own personal partisan agenda. And they're interfering in legislative affairs. They're trying to serve as lawmakers instead of as Supreme Court justices, and they're trying to put everything that the legislature is getting done into the trash can.
You're 100% right, Aaron. And you know those the justices work upstairs for me. And to be perfectly honest with you, there's a bunch of progressive extremism up there, and not actual interpretation of the law going on. And most of the time in a political case, in a controversial case, the answer is the Democrats win, and we'll just twist the law until we can make that happen.
Yeah, it's crazy, and you've got a front row seat to it. All the more reason why folks, you know, I think are very supportive of what they're seeing and hearing out of Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead and Corey Swanson, a prosecutor out of Broadwater County and Iraq War veteran as well. Bowen Greenwood, thanks for calling in. Nice surprise phone call this Friday morning.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you got something you want to talk about. Frank in Evergreen is back. I tried to go to Frank the other day, but he wasn't on the phone lines. Looks like he's back with us today. Frank, what random thought is on your mind today?
Oh, it's the high cost of burial or even cremation in Montana. It's with the high cost of property taxes where you can't even afford to live in your house. You know, the only alternative is there's an old law, I guess, that if you live in the county, you can actually be buried right on your property. So you hear all these tales of bones being found in Montana on some land, you know, don't be surprised. You know, it just leave it buried. But
it is expensive, isn't it? Yeah, if people are doing, you know, family planning or just, you know, if you're trying to put together a living will or anything like that, I don't think people realize how much that type of stuff actually costs, right? Hopefully you don't have to worry about it too soon here, but hey.
Well, especially with Medicaid costs and Medicare costs, why should that be passed on to the taxpayers? And when there is really no money there. But
well, and then you raise another interesting point, Frank, which is, you've got the cost of everything going up. And, boy, if they can't get you while you're alive, they'll figure out a way to get you afterwards, won't they? I mean, that's one of the big conversations the Montana stock growers have been having. Last week, I ran into Turk Stovall just as he got back from Washington, D.C. He's with the Montana stock growers. And then as I was flying back home from Las Vegas for the UFC 300, I ran into to Vicky out of Phillips County, and I ran into Leslie Robinson with the Montana stock growers. And of course, they were headed to Washington, D.C. And the big topic of conversation there is the death tax. The death tax, the estate taxes in particular. I tell you what, folks, believe me when we tell you this. If this election, if Joe Biden stays in power, and if they still control the United States Senate, say hello to the death tax. Say goodbye to some of these family farms and some of these family ranches. But it's not just the death tax and the estate tax and family farms and ranches. I don't know if you guys heard this, but Joe Biden just yesterday proposed the largest middle class tax hike in modern times. I'll share some of those numbers with you here in just a second. But first, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Well, you know, people have to understand how critical this Office of Public Instruction is and the Supreme Court, you know, judge races. They're setting so much social policy in this state. It's so significant. Dan had a friend who was going for her PhD in education at Montana State University, and one of the books that was required reading was Cultivating Social Justice Teachers. And some of the chapter headings, disrupting denial and white privilege in teacher education, teaching about Christian privilege in the classroom, teaching about immigration as a humanitarian issue, when critical multicultural queer affirmation meets Christian homophobia. I mean, it's nuts. They're not teaching, like in these graduate programs, they're not interested in creating educators. They're interested in making social propagandists. Saul Alinsky, you know, two generations ago, when SDS was terrorizing country back in the 60s, said, the people aren't ready yet. You're two generations early. We've got to get into the educational system. We've got to get into the Ivy League schools. We've got to inculcate them with a hatred for the United States. And that's how we're going to finally, you know, foment this revolution we're looking for.
And it's a radical left-wing agenda they're trying to push, and they're going to use the courts to jam it down our throats, and they will use the Office of Public Instruction to jam it down our throats. And yet, Tom, look at how many conservatives will sit and argue and fight amongst each other about all this other stuff and ignore these important races like OPI. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks at. With Lane Nordland.
Rabobank released its agribusiness review, analyzing market conditions and trends across North American agriculture. Among the highlights, the report says American consumers have proven far more resilient than expected, and they continue analyzing the drivers behind evolving consumption patterns. Rabo says upstream market expectations are mixed. For example, in the beef sector, Rabo says in early 2024, U.S. beef imports will expand while exports shrink. However, U.S. beef and cattle demand posted early highs this year. In corn, the industry census is that farmers will find a way to get planted corn acres up to 91 million acres, as most planting conditions have been favorable. Headwinds against soybeans, though, include higher interest rates and a stronger dollar, which appreciated against several currencies. In fuel news, prices across the nation for regular gas coming in yesterday evening at $3.65 a gallon. In the Big Sky State, prices a dime behind that at $3.55. As for the national price of diesel, it's priced at $4.02 a gallon, while in Montana, it's actually a penny higher than the national average at $4.03. Again, prices continue to trend upward as we move through the spring of 2024. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. One other quick thing to throw out there. My goodness. Did you guys see this story? First off, thanks to Tom and Bozeman. I know we got cut off by the hard break there, but I checked in with him during the break. He's going to run. He's got to run. And so we'll get on to some more callers here. But anyway, Tom and Bozeman said, hey, I'll see you tonight at the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman. That's right. Tom's going to come down and see us. I hope our other listeners, if you're going to be in Bozeman, or if you want an excuse to go to the Rockin' R tonight from 5 to 7, I'm going to be there. We're doing these great events paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. And then I'm going to be at V42 Fitness in Three Forks tomorrow morning, a great veteran-owned gym in Three Forks. And even if you're not a member of the gym, you can come down and see us, have coffee. We've got some gift cards we're going to be giving out. And then tomorrow night, Fusion Fights, I'll be stepping into the octagon at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. That's going to be an incredible time as well. Let's see. Oh, yeah, real quickly, I just wanted to put this story on your radar. I can't remember when it was, when this news first came out, remember when they announced that we, the United States, was going to be building a pier on the Gaza Strip? We were going to be building a pier, that's right, with your taxpayer dollars, we were going to be building a pier so that your taxpayer dollars could send so-called humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. Now, we know exactly what's happening here is our money is going to the terrorists in the Gaza Strip. No matter how well-intentioned it may be, we know exactly what's going to happen is what always happens. The terrorists will get the aid. Well, the story in the Military Times that just came out last night, U.S.-led Gaza humanitarian aid pier comes under fire, U.N. officials say. There you go. But anyway, you might remember, a few weeks ago, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, was with us live here on Montana Talks. He predicted this whole thing. He said, you watch what's going to happen. The terrorists will attack the very pier that we're paying for, that we are going to be building to give the terrorists aid. Even though we're giving them aid, they will still attack the pier that we are building. And there you go. It's already come under fire, as the Joker predicted. All right, let's go to Don in Lewistown. Don, what's on your mind?
I have a question for you. Do you think his lips are moving, lying? Two-Face John Tester is just jealous because he can't afford to buy the property that Tim Sheeney's bought?
Well, he might be able to afford it now. He's become very wealthy since becoming a U.S. senator.
Well, yeah. But I think he's lying out both sides of his mouth as far as I'm concerned.
Talking about liberal Senator John Tester, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to even call him a senator. I'm going to call him a fixture. So,
you know, I was, I've got a restaurant menu in front of me here. I forget how this came up. We had somebody call in the other day, and they were talking about liberal Senator John Tester. And, you know, the cost of everything is going up, right? I mean, you're seeing it in Lewistown, aren't you, Don?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of everything is going up here. And so I had made the remark about how, you know, John Tester is living high on the hog in Washington, D.C., while the rest of us, you know, suffer because of all the inflation that Joe Biden and John Tester have created out here. But he gets to live high on the hog. I pulled up the dessert menu for the Bistro Cacao restaurant, French cuisine restaurant in the Washington, D.C. area. If you want now my French is really bad here, Don, but if you want the moulu au chocolat, the molten chocolate cake with raspberry coulis and vanilla ice cream, please allow 15 minutes to bake this dessert. $12 for that dessert. The Suzette crepe is $12. The trio creme brulee is $11. That's just for the dessert, Don. That's one of John Tester's favorite restaurants. And so he has racked up $1.2 million in restaurant bills in Washington, D.C. I wonder how much property you could have bought for that.
Well, I know how much I could have bought, but if that's what dessert menus cost, I wonder what his meal costing.
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, it's $1.2 million he's racked up at some of those fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. Meanwhile, you got people back here in Montana that can't afford to go out to eat as much anymore because of the high cost of inflation. All right, Don, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, we got a nice surprise phone call here. This is Link Niemark. Link Niemark is a Democrat candidate for Senate District 5 in the Flathead Valley. Link, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's on your mind? What did you want to share with our listeners?
Well, earlier in your program, the Zoe Zephyr topic came up. And what I wanted to say is banning a speaker from the House, banning someone from talking, it's really counterproductive to our democratic process. And one of the reasons that I'm running for Senate District 5 is because the then Speaker of the House, Matt Laguerre, was the person that kicked Zoe Zephyr off the floor and didn't allow her to return. And Matt Laguerre is running for Senate District 5 as well, and I'm kind of opposed to that approach, so I'm opposing Matt Laguerre in my running.
So Zoe Zephyr, for those who aren't familiar, is the biological male who identifies as a woman, the transgender lawmaker from House District 100 in Missoula. So you're saying Zoe Zephyr is who inspired you to run?
Well, I'm saying that Matt Laguerre throwing her off the floor was part of my inspiration to run, because I think that's really counterproductive to our democratic process.
So, well, the rules on the House floor are the rules on the House floor. The majority believed that Zephyr violated the rules and refused to apologize for violating the rules. But be that as it may, what do you think? You've referred to Zoe Zephyr as her and as she. Do you think that biological males should be allowed to take away sports opportunities from girls? Should they be allowed? Should boys and men be allowed to go into girls' locker rooms?
I'm not really in favor of that at all, and that's not really my issue. My issue is if you have the majority silencing debate on the floor, we can't make any progress with democracy, and our whole populace isn't properly represented in that issue. So just because there's more people that don't like an idea doesn't mean you can vote that person out. And that is my issue.
Well, I mean, I remember, watching and being there for part of the legislative session, and Zoe Zephyr was allowed to say pretty much whatever Zoe Zephyr wanted to say for the entire legislative session, all sorts of crazy things, right? And Zoe Zephyr's speech wasn't cut off then. It was when there were particular remarks that were perceived to violate the House rules because they were perceived to be anti-Christian bigotry, which was a violation of the House rules. So that's why they did what they did. But what's your take now on Zoe Zephyr? Zoe Zephyr now is attacking Montana law enforcement and defending these pro-Hamas rioters on these college campuses. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm also not in favor of pro-Hamas rioters. I don't understand why someone would support Hamas. I do understand why people would protest for Palestinian people, citizens, because they're taking a beating. But to protest in favor of Hamas makes no sense to me at all. That's a terrorist organization, and I don't understand how you could ever be in favor of supporting them.
I agree with you. I wish more folks on the left would come out and condemn not only these rioters, but the hateful things they're saying about Jews and Israel. So, Link Niemark, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Hey, that's what we're here for. We got the phone lines open for everybody. Appreciate it. Link Niemark running as a Democrat candidate for the state Senate in the Flathead Valley. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's see. We just about have to take a... Oh, let's go to Karen in Columbia Falls. We got about 30 seconds before the break. Karen, what do you want to share?
I just wanted to make the point that your last speaker said Zoe should not have been silenced by the majority. And I kind of agree with that, and I think that should apply to President Trump. He should not be gagged by the majority just because they don't like what he said.
Yeah, not even allowed to criticize the very people that are criticizing him and attacking him in court, locked down in court, while Joe Biden gets to shuffle and campaign all over the country, right?
Exactly. Talk about all of us not getting to hear what someone has to say.
That's a great point. That's a great point. All right, hold that thought. Back with more of your calls after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, Karen in Columbia Falls just nailed it there with about 30 seconds before the break. She said what she wanted to say. I was going to sneak on Perry in Columbus, or I was going to sneak on Ken in Gray Falls, but I'm like, nah, they're going to need more than 30 seconds. So Karen was able to fit it all into 30 seconds there. Karen, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ken in Great Falls next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Ken?
Well, you were going to talk about the Biden taxes on middle class. Well, there will be no taxes raised on anyone making over $400,000. Now, Tim Sheehy and Gianforte and all the other millionaires, their taxes are going up significantly because they can pay it. They have it. But, you know, that's the big point. The other thing is you keep talking about these people who are pro-Hamas. No, they're pro-Palestinian. They want to stop. There's already 17 or 18,000 children have been killed. You know, you call it collateral damage. No, it's little babies and little kids.
They're being killed by the terrorists,
Ken. They want to stop that. They want to stop that.
No, they don't.
Like they tried to stop the Vietnam War.
They didn't try to stop the millions of other Arabs that were slaughtered by other Arab countries. They only care about the war that's taking place in Gaza right now. Why didn't they care about all these other wars?
Because it's our money that's paying for it.
On both sides. You're right there.
They want to stop it. We used to stand for peace in the Middle East. We tried to bring peace between the Arabs.
No, you didn't.
And the Jews. Yes, we did. Jimmy Carter had a plan.
Donald Trump was getting it done. And I don't remember you calling in and supporting Donald Trump's efforts to broker peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement with Israel and Arab countries. In fact, I remember Joe Biden undermining that peace process. And the terrorists are responsible for these deaths. The terrorists are the ones that use people as human shields. And if you care so much about peace, why aren't you calling into radio shows like this demanding that the Hamas terrorists release the hostages that they're still holding on to? Why don't you condemn these left-wing protesters that, yes, they are supporting Hamas? And by the way, 80% of the people in the Gaza Strip support the Hamas terrorist group as well. It's time to defeat this terrorism in the Gaza Strip once and for all. That's why we stand with Israel. Perry in Columbus, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. I'm starting a fundraising effort to send Zoe Zephyr to Gaza on a diplomatic mission to supervise local relationships with Hamas during the construction of their new seaport with our hard-earned tax dollars. And I think Ken could be my first donor. You know, I hope Zoe learned to shoot during his time in Montana, because I think there's still some tall buildings left in Gaza. But, you know, on a little more serious note, you know, I ask listeners this Freedom Friday to think about how surreal it is that our constitutional republic is facing an intentional extinction by elements of our own federal government. And TikTok, Ron John Lester, I'm talking to you here. It's hard to see people like him as anything but flat-out evil. You know, and our response needs to be to talk to persuadable people about the existential nature of the upcoming elections. Use humor, facts, logic, whatever it takes. And Aaron, wouldn't you say that Link Newman's answer to your question about men and women's locking rooms should have had only two letters, N and O.
Well, I think it's interesting that some of the candidates for office will say, oh, no, I don't support men and girls' locker rooms. Well, that's what John Tester voted for. So, again, John Tester is one of these radical leftist Democrats. He is not a JFK Democrat. He is not a Kennedy Democrat. He is one of these radical leftists. John F. Kennedy supported tax cuts. Look at the tax hike. I didn't get to the numbers yet here, but also, Ken in Great Falls referred to Joe Biden's tax hike that he's proposing. Biggest middle-class tax hike in modern times. Remember when Joe Biden told you he wouldn't raise taxes on people making less than $200,000 a year? Yeah, that was a lie. Well, the cat is finally out of the bag on Biden's tax plans. This is according to Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Biden admitted yesterday in a campaign speech that he will allow the repeal of the entire Trump tax cut of 2017. You all know you benefited from those Trump tax cuts. Stephen Moore writes this: this will clobber middle-class Americans with incomes far below $400,000. More than 6 of 10 U.S. households would owe thousands of dollars a year more to the IRS. The tax plan would mean higher tax rates, a lower standard deduction, a new 20% hike in small business tax rates, and much more. If you check out the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, you can read more of that information, see the charts, et cetera. Ben in Kalispell, we got about a minute to go. Ben, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, with these tax raises that could possibly be on the way with President Biden, that'll be money well spent at some of these Ivy League schools where we're paying for these entitled, spoiled brats to protest say hateful anti-Semitic chants and burn the American flag. And your taxpayer dollars are going to fund these schools. I wish more of these university presidents had a spine and shut down some of this stuff here. It just saddens me. To see the American flag and you being a veterinarian, it just breaks my heart. The men and women that gave their lives or gave service to this country, and to see that flag burned on national television. We're living in a world where left is right, right is left. The cops are the bad guys.
It's a national disgrace, isn't it, Ben?